So we have ample evidence, thousands of research studies that have documented the importance of breastfeeding for a baby's health, for the mother's health, for the economics of the family, for society as a whole. And we know that breastfeeding is just so incredibly important for both health and economics. And so we want to make sure that we have an environment that is conducive to letting mothers make the best decisions for their own health and for their baby's health. We know that the marketing of breast milk substitutes often gets in the way of being able to make good, healthy decisions because people are bombarded with contrary information that is often not science-based.
In terms of the economics, is that just that families will save money by not buying formula off the shelf?
No, that's only one aspect of it. Obviously, there are also savings in terms of the healthcare costs of taking care of sick children, of sick mothers. But also we see economic impacts because of the intellectual properties. But we know that babies who are breastfed do have higher IQs and have higher earning potential later in life. There are studies that have followed children over a number of years and show that those that were breastfed actually get better paying jobs later in life and are more productive. And so those can be turned into economic value through economic modeling of what that would actually be worth to the globe. There was a study published in The Lancet at the beginning of this year that actually documented the world economy could save $300 billion per year if we were to get breastfeeding rates up to recommended levels.
Wow. So on the other hand, how much money is in the breastfeeding alternative industry?
So it's a huge industry. The last estimate in 2014 was that the industry itself was worth $44 billion. And that's projected to grow to $70 billion by 2019. So it's not only a huge industry, it's also a very rapidly growing industry, particularly in the lower income parts of the world. Breastfeeding rates have been quite high throughout much of the low income countries, but are starting to fall because of this marketing of breast milk substitutes.
How has this managed to take place? How have companies effectively sold something that so many professionals are saying is completely unnecessary?
Well, marketing is quite effective. And so if you, over a number of many years, put out a message that your product is better, you work with healthcare providers and bribe might be a strong word, although there certainly are examples of bribery, but creating close relationships with healthcare providers so that they start to feel that, well, maybe it's not so important. Maybe breast milk substitutes do almost as good or as good. And so whenever there are any kind of difficulties with breastfeeding, rather than providing the help that a mother needs to get through those difficulties, it's just much easier to say, well, why don't you just buy this can of formula? It's kind of an easy solution to fall back to. And as a result, what we've done is we've actually shaped our society to make it difficult to breastfeed. We certainly don't want to put women in a position where they feel like they have to do something that is so hard for them. But we've created it where our jobs make it impossible to breastfeed. Women are expected to go back to work much too early. There are not accommodations for them to breastfeed when they do go back to work. We have this problem with the marketing. We find that healthcare providers themselves don't even have the education on how to help women with problems that they have with breastfeeding. And so we've created an environment that almost makes it necessary to have infant formula.
Is there a risk, though, with the campaign that's now taking place to encourage women to return to breastfeeding? Is there a risk that we're going to stigmatize the women who just can't, or for whatever reason, haven't managed to breastfeed their children?
There is some risk to that, and we certainly want to be careful that we don't do those campaigns in a way that would make women feel bad or feel guilty about the decisions that they have to make. And really, many of our campaigns, we try not to emphasize to women what they should do. We really try to emphasize other aspects of what society should do to support women. We actually know that in many, many countries, women are much more, really want to breastfeed and want to breastfeed for longer than they're able to do. But we find these barriers that I was talking about earlier that get in her way. And so our campaigns more and more are directed to parliamentarians to change the laws in their societies to be more supportive of breastfeeding.
So let's talk about some of those laws. Are there any countries that have gotten it right in terms of protecting women from particularly unhealthy or overwhelming advertisements from breast milk substitute companies?
In this report, we actually kind of categorize each country as to how strong their legislation is, and we have a category of essentially comprehensive legislation that covers all of the areas that are recommended by WHO. And there are 39 countries out of the 194 member states of the World Health Assembly, kind of essentially all countries around the world. 39 of those countries have what we consider to be comprehensive legislation. Those are countries in Southeast Africa, Southern Asia, and some countries of Latin America. High-income countries really have not done nearly as well in putting in place that strong legislation.
That surprises me. You think that the countries with maybe perhaps more resources available would be doing more to counteract the advertisements that are coming through?
One would certainly hope, but that is not the reality. I think that in those higher income countries, they tend to have much closer relationships with industry. And so they are more susceptible to the influence of industry, convincing them that, well, we don't need to have such strong protections here. We also know that the rates of breastfeeding are much lower in those high income countries. And so there's not as strong a societal push for strong legislation. There's more of an acceptance of, well, we'll just let women do what they want to do and not try to get in their way when they actually don't realize that the advertising itself is getting in the way.
So there's been quite an interesting situation in Australia that's got quite a lot of news coverage recently, where baby formula and even toddler formula has had to be regulated in numerous supermarkets because it's just been almost bulk bought by lots of people and it's just flying off the shelves. How is this kind of adding to the hype about the way we consume baby formula in a way that is also potentially damaging?
I think we certainly see a situation of kind of a complex economics of infant formula because it is highly valuable. So it's an expensive product, and so there certainly are kind of black markets for it. There are situations in China where there's not good regulation of advertising and the kinds of rules that we would like to see in place. And so there's an increasing demand in China, particularly as they're moving away from the one-child policy and fertility rates are expected to go up in China. There's a strong push toward increasing the markets for breast milk substitutes in China. But the Chinese don't want to buy their own local products because of some fears about the safety of those products. And so what's happened in a number of countries, and I'm sure Australia is one of those, is that people are taking them off of the shelves in those countries and then exporting them sometimes through black markets into China. And so it's created a very complex economic situation, both above board and below board. It certainly makes it difficult and sometimes makes it difficult then for the local markets to keep up with being able to buy the formula when they want to. And so it has created a certain buzz of the value of the product that may be inappropriate.